Hey everybody, and welcome back to Serial Zombie Mom. I hope everybody's been enjoying my podcast so far, and I hope that I'm doing a pretty good job. Like, I don't know, I'm at the point where I've got 50 plus episodes in, and I'm just really hoping that I'm gonna start getting a little bit higher of a following. I appreciate everybody who has been listening and part of the, part of the podcast. And, if everybody's enjoying, I'm just going to keep doing this whether they are or not, because this is something that is really interesting to me, and I just feel it's necessary to just keep going. But I don't know, little feedback would be helpful, guys. I've only got a couple of people that I've spoken to so far, and I just feel like, please share with everybody. I'd really appreciate that. So, today's case is going to be Charles Edmund Cullen, not to be confused with the sparkly bitch vampire, Edward Cullen. He was born in, West Orange, New Jersey, February 22nd, 1960, and was the last of eight children to an Irish Catholic family. Now, his father, Edmund, was a bus driver and was 56 when Charles was born. He died a few months later when Charles was only 7 months old. Now, some reports even say that he raped Charles as a baby prior to his death. Now, Cullen said he was consistently and constantly bullied by his sister's boyfriends and all the kids at school, and states that at 9 years old, he tried to kill himself for the first time by drinking chemicals from a chemistry set. Now, his mother, Florence, was killed in 1977 in an accident, a car accident, when she was about 60 years old. He was a senior in high school, and one of his sisters was driving at the time of the accident. He was so upset by the loss of his mother and traumatized by the fact that the hospital would not return her body and had her cremated instead. Now, the following year, in 1978, he dropped out of high school and enlisted in the Navy. He served aboard the USS Woodrow Wilson. He passed basic training and all the rigorous psychological tests required for the subcrews as they spent as long as 2 months at a time underwater in a cramped vessel. Now, he rose to Petty Officer Second Class as part of a team that operated the ship's Poseidon missiles. Unfortunately, he was still no better off in the Navy than he was in school, and was hazed and bullied by his fellow crewmen. Now, I'll say, however, while hazing is frowned upon, guys will fuck with each other just to try and bond, see how much each other can handle, and I'm guessing he was a little too sensitive for that. Now, he was disciplined a year into service for being found at the missile controls wearing surgical gear, complete with the mask, gloves, scrubs, etc., instead of wearing his actual uniform. Now, there was no explanation for this, and he was just then reassigned to a low-pressure job on the supply ship, the USS Canopus. Now, he attempted suicide again and was committed to the Navy psych ward several times through the next few years, eventually getting a medical discharge in 1984 for unknown reasons. Now, he later enrolled in nursing school and was elected president of his class and graduated in 1986. His first job was in the burn unit of St. Barnabas Medical Center. Now, while working at St. Barnabas, he met and married Adrian Baum, or Taub. I've seen it two different ways, so I'm not 100% sure which one it actually is. Their daughter, Shauna, was born later that year. Now, his wife became disturbed at his behavior and the abuse on the family dogs. He would put, like, the little dogs in bowling bags and, like, chuck them down the stairs, or, just keep them cramped up in it or something, and just, it was just weird behavior. And, definitely when it comes to animal abuse, we have a bit of a trigger that something's up with this person. So that should have been a bit of a warning sign straight out the gate. Now, Cullen commits his first murder June 11th of 1988 when he administered lethal doses of an IV medication to a patient. This patient was Judge John W. Yango Sr., and he had been admitted after having an allergic reaction to a blood thinner. So, granted, you know, he was in the hospital for something that could have been life-threatening, but he was being treated. He was gonna be fine. Now, there were 11 victims at St. Barnabas, including an AIDS patient who had died after being given an overdose of insulin. He quit. Cullen quit in January of 1992 when they started getting suspicious of the IV bags being tampered with. Then he heads to Warren Hospital in Phillipsburg, New Jersey, in February of 1992. He murdered three elderly women at the hospital by giving overdoses of digoxin, which is a heart medication. Now, his final victim stated that a sneaky male nurse had injected her as she slept, but the healthcare and family members dismissed her comments. Now, in January of 93, his wife, who was already suspicious of some of the things he was doing and unnerved by him, finally asks for a divorce and files. She files two criminal domestic violence complaints against him, and it depicts him as an alcoholic who abuses animals, who pranks people by pouring lighter fluid into their drinks. So whenever they'd have a cookout or a party or something, he thought that was his party trick. And he'd even make prank calls to funeral homes. Now, he shared custody of his daughters and moved into a basement apartment in Phillipsburg. This year, he says he wants to quit nursing. But because of the demand on his child support payments, he was forced to stay working in the medical field. Now, March 93, he broke into a co-worker's home while she and her son were sleeping. He didn't disturb them, but he broke in. He started calling her quite often. He'd leave messages for her all over town. She'd go to the grocery store. There'd be a message for her at the fucking grocery store. She couldn't go get gas without someone saying, yeah, somebody called here, said if you came in, you'd leave a message. You know, said it was really, really strange. Now, she filed a complaint, and he pled guilty to trespassing and was placed on a year's probation. The day after his arrest, however, he attempts suicide for the third time that we know of. Now, he took 2 months off and was treated for depression in two different psychiatric facilities. He would then attempt suicide two more times before the end of the year. I can't deduce at this point if he is trying to commit suicide as a attempt for attention, or if he's just too chicken shit to do it, or if he really just is that naive to not know what's going to work, or if he's scared to do anything more drastic. I don't know. But there's some pretty interesting questions here. Mm-hmm. Now, Cullen left Warren in December of 93, only to take a job at Hunter Medical Center in Rarity Township early the next year. And he worked in the ICCU for 3 years. The best place to be with massive amounts of digoxin. Intensive care and cardiothoracic unit. So it could be you looked over a little bit more on the cardiothoracic unit because it was a more common thing to see there. Now, if you tried to do it on the burn unit, you tried to do it on, you know, a basic patient care floor or something, then it's probably going to throw up some red flags a whole lot quicker. Now, during the first 2 years, he claims he didn't murder anybody. But by the time of his arrest in 2003, the hospital records for this time period were already destroyed, preventing further investigation into any other deaths. He did, however, admit to murdering 5 patients in the first 9 months of 1996, again with the drug digoxin. Now, Cullen becomes a licensed nurse in Pennsylvania in 1994. Now, he finds a job at Morris Medical Center in Morris, New Jersey, but was fired in August of 97 for his job performance. Now, he remained unemployed for about 6 months and stopped making child support payments. So, in October of 1997, when he came to Warren Hospital ER, he came in looking for help with his depression, and he was admitted to psych for a short time. Neighbors actually complained to his behavior. They said that he'd chase down cats in the middle of the night, yelling, talking to himself, making faces at people in a very childish manner, you know, just acting weird. Giving people, you know, a reason to be concerned. Now, in February of 98, he was hired by a nursing home and rehab center and worked in a ward with patients who were on vents. These vents allowed these patients to breathe. But that, we knew, they were all in either comas medically or, you know, chemically induced. They couldn't fight for themselves. They could not know what was going on. And in May, Cullen files bankruptcy, claiming almost $67,000 in debts. Now, the center fires Cullen in October after being seen taking syringes into a patient's room. And this same patient ended up with a broken arm. But thankfully, no injections were able to be made. He then jumped over to Elston Hospital from November 98 to March 99, and on December 30th of 98, murdered another patient with digoxin, with the coroner's findings of lethal amounts of digoxin in the patient's blood. But they couldn't tie it to Cullen definitively. Now, with the nationwide nursing shortage, it was easy for him to find work, and for the hospitals to work past the issues that he had had in the past, because they were desperate to have people work for them. And the reason I mention that is because a lot of people at this point, you know, he's jumping from medical establishment to medical establishment, jumping every couple years. How in the hell has somebody not figured it out by this point? How in the hell is he still getting a job doing this and being able to go and murder all these patients? They were that desperate that it was like, you know, yeah, we had questions, but we couldn't say for sure. You know, well, if you couldn't say for sure, then we're going to hire his ass because we need people really bad. They had to do what they had to do, but by doing that, they put the lives of thousands in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. Now, Lehigh Valley Hospital was another place that he went to. He murdered one and attempted another. In April of 99, he actually resigns that job and takes a job at St. Luke's Hospital, where he works in the cardiac care unit. You notice that's where he tends to like to go, because then he can use the digoxin. Now, over the next 3 years, he murdered 5 more and attempted on 2 more. January of 2000, he attempts suicide again. He puts a charcoal grill in his bathtub, hoping that the carbon monoxide would kill him. But the neighbors smelled the smoke and called the fire department and the police. His career at St. Luke's looked as if it was pretty clean, until another co-worker found vials of unused medication in the disposal bin. Digoxin has no street value. People can't get high on it. They can't do so. There was nothing that it could be used for outside the hospital. So they knew they had to start looking at who took the medication, who signed it out, and then they linked it back to Cullen. He was fired and escorted from the building on June 2002. Seven nurses from St. Luke's later met with the DA and spoke of the suspicions that they had had about Cullen, and that Cullen may have drugged and killed patients. They also pointed out that he was working massive numbers of hours, and that he was present for about two-thirds of the deaths. He alone worked 20% of the hours on those floors. He was working massive amounts of hours each week. Not just a normal 40, but 60-plus hours a week. But they never looked into the past at the other hospitals. So the case was dropped due to the lack of evidence. Now another jump to Sacred Heart Hospital in Allentown. But this was short-lived when they found out... It was short-lived. He didn't stay there long. I think because they may have had more security measures in place for their own reasons. So he knew he wasn't going to be able to get away with these things there. They were watched a little bit better, like he couldn't do it. So then he goes over to Somerset Medical Center, September of 2002, where he finds his way to the critical care center there. Now, his depression continued to suffer, but he began dating again. Cullen murdered 8 more patients and attempted another by June using digoxin and insulin. And on June 18th of 2003, he attempted the life of patient Philip Greger, but thankfully Greger survived and was discharged only to pass about 6 months later due to natural causes. Now, they started to see Cullen accessing patients' files of patients that he wasn't even assigned to, and seeing him in their rooms, even though he had nothing to do with that patient. Now, thanks to the computerized drug dispensing cabinets that they started to put in over that few years, it was showing him asking for multiple medications that had not been prescribed. I apologize. Executive director of the New Jersey Poison Information and Education System had warned Somerset Medical that in July 2003, at least 4 of the suspicious overdoses indicated that an employee was responsible for the deaths. Now, the hospital delayed any contact with authorities until October of said year, but he already killed another 5 patients and tried to kill a 6th. With these, he even proceeded to have sex with some of the victims. Now, it is unclear if he did this prior to their death or after their death, but it was mentioned that he did have sex with a few of these victims. Now, state officials penalized the hospital for the failure to report a non-fatal overdose in August, and the overdose had been administered by Cullen, and the medical center alerted state authorities. An investigation into Cullen's employment history and all of his jumping around came at this point to a head to reveal all the past suspicions about his involvement with prior deaths. Now, at this point, he's fired on Halloween Day 2003, and the reason they give him is because he lied on its application. Now, he was surveilled for a few weeks after they worked on his investigation, and while they were working on the investigation, and therefore was arrested on 1 count of murder and 1 count of attempted murder on December 14th, 2003. Now, you know, you guys are thinking, all right, there's been all these he's killed and all these he's attempted on, and he's only getting charged with 1 count of murder and 1 count of attempted murder? Well, this is because they could only prove these 2 at that moment. He admitted to the murder of Reverend Florian Gall and the attempted murder of Tinkayusu Han, both from Somerset. Now, April 2004, he pled guilty in a New Jersey court to killing 13 patients and attempting to kill 2 others while at Somerset. As part of his plea agreement, he promised to cooperate as long as they didn't seek the death penalty. That was the only thing that he didn't want, was to be killed. All his suicide attempts, and he doesn't want to die? So that tells me right there, it's either a plea for attention, and he's just wanting someone to help him in some way, or just to be around him. Now, about a month later, he pled guilty to the murder of 3 more patients in New Jersey. November 2004, he pled guilty to killing 6 and attempting 3 in Pennsylvania. As July 2005 remained in Somerset County Jail during his continued investigations. Now he is currently serving life in prison without parole for 30 years. And this is to be served consecutively with all his other sentences in Pennsylvania. On March 2nd, 2006, he was sentenced to 11 consecutive life sentences in New Jersey, and to be ineligible for parole for 397 years. So obviously that fucker's never getting out. He is held at New Jersey State Prison in Trenton. Now, on March 10th, 2006, so just a few days after his sentencing, Cullen was brought into the courtroom of Lehigh County President Judge William Pratt for a sentencing hearing. Now, Cullen, who was upset about this and upset with the judge, kept repeating, "Your Honor, you need to step down." He kept repeating that for 30 minutes until the judge actually had to physically have Cullen gagged with a cloth and duct tape because they could not get him to stop. Even after this, he continued to try and repeat the phrase. Now, in this hearing, Pratt gives him an additional 6 life sentences, in addition to other sentences pronounced on the same day in another county. Cullen currently faces 18 life sentences. Now, his reasoning would always be that he wanted to spare them the pain during their code, and that he would put them out of their misery as after he witnessed their suffering. He told detectives that he lived most of his life in a fog and could not recall how many of them were or why they were chosen, just that he did it. He adamantly denied murdering at certain places. But after reviewing medical records, he would later admit there was multiple involvements. So he was trying to get off on it at first and then realized, you know what, fuck it, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, because he knew he was pretty much caught. Now, when we look at his life, we find out that he attempted 20 times to take his own life. 20 times he says he wants to kill himself. He tries to kill himself in various ways, one of which he even attempts to jab scissors into his own head and gets rushed to the hospital for major surgery. 20 fucking times. And then he doesn't want the death penalty? What the fuck is wrong here? Why had they not mentally evaluated him better? Too much is going on with this guy. Too much. He is fucking psychotic. Now, he was the reason, thankfully, though, that the licensed healthcare professionals all around the world, well, at least the U.S. and Canada, must undergo criminal background checks and be fingerprinted at, and disclosures have to be so strong. We really have to make sure that at this point, if you don't pass a background check, you're not going to be working with people because we don't know what you're capable of. So even going to school for it now, you have to pass these background checks. You have to go through extra testing to even be considered for a job in the healthcare system now. You have to pass a specific test. It's like when you're going to be a lawyer and you have to pass the LSATs. You have to do the same type of thing for healthcare. Now, there was a movie in 2008 called Killer Nurse, and apparently this was very loosely based on him. And his victims, when we go back and look, most of them were elderly, but his youngest patient that he killed was 21 years old. There was also a 22-year-old. There were some in their 40s. But the majority of them were in their 70s, 80s, 90s. I think the oldest was 91, if I remember correctly. So it's sad to know that most of these victims' families were content with the fact that it wasn't anything unnatural. You know, their loved ones were in the hospital, a history of health problems and heart conditions, and they die of a heart condition or whatever. And they were like, well, you know, it was just his time to go, her time to go. And then they're finding out that the nurse that cared for that person for so long was the one actually responsible for the death. And that they got shitted out of a couple more years or months or even days with their loved ones. So here they thought they had closure. And now that closure has been ripped away from them. And they're realizing that, you know, they have questions that need to be answered. So this opened the can of worms that really ruined this closure and grieving process, or made them have to re-grieve all over again and wonder what happened all over again. Now, not only did it do this, but now everyone whose loved one was in these hospitals at the same time, and they find out, okay, well, he was at this hospital between this year and this year, or this month and this month. So now everybody's going and looking and being like, well, so-and-so was there during this time. Did he try to kill them? And we just didn't know? Was he, you know, was he possibly looking at killing them? Or did he attempt it? Or they're looking at, you know, well, my, you know, aunt, uncle, grandmother, grandfather, whoever died during that time frame at that hospital, could he have been responsible? So then they're looking at family members possibly having to be exhumed. Looking at medical records. A lot of things, you've got to think, people who have already got health issues, people who have got these heart problems, if you're being given an overdose of a heart medication, and you know, you knew that we don't really know what's going on. He could die tomorrow, or it could be months from now, years from now, whatever. And then all of a sudden he dies. The family's like, oh well, it was natural causes. We knew this was coming. So now it makes all these people second guess. Or God forbid somebody have a heart attack while they're at the hospital and have this issue while they're at the hospital. You know, was that because he received one of Cullen's injections? Because there were a couple of people that he attempted on that they realized kind of what was going on, and they came in and they gave the appropriate medications to kind of counteract the effects, and they were able to save the people. Or maybe he miscalculated a dose and they just got sick, but it didn't actually kill them. it's really sad. And especially when you go back to that one female patient that said some sketchy nurse came into my room, you know, and tried to give me an injection. And then they didn't want to listen to her. And then all of a sudden she's gone. Yeah, whatever. Oh, shit, now she's dead. Maybe we should have listened. She tried to tell us. And what about the patient with the broken arm? Like, he fought with that patient enough to break that patient's arm? He was that damn adamant about killing this patient that he broke the person's arm. I'm curious to know at this point, because it's not published anywhere that I saw in my research. I mean, I probably could have dug a little deeper, but I'm curious to know what his actual mental diagnosis is, because knowing that he was talking to himself and other things, or at least that's what people were saying, you know, I don't know if he is schizophrenic or bipolar or have identity crisis or what. But I just still can't get over the fact that why would you try to kill yourself so many times and then deny the death penalty? Like, wouldn't you want them to kill you? Like, wouldn't you say, go for the death penalty because I don't want to be around here anytime? I don't want to be around here for 397 years? I mean, we know he's not going to last that long, but can't help but wonder. Cannot help but wonder. What kind of stability? Excuse me. What kind of stability was he looking for in his life that he was not getting? What was his issue with his mother? I mean, he killed males and females, so it's not like it was something like that that had to do with his mother. I don't know if it was seeing his mother in pain. I don't know if she died in the car accident or as the result of the accident. I mean, they did say that the hospital did not give back the body but had her cremated. So I imagine she had been in the hospital for a little while before she passed away from her injuries. So I don't know if he was in there and watched her suffer to her death. This is my theory. He watched her suffer till her death. And he couldn't imagine seeing people do that. As far as his depression, you know, I suffer from anxiety and depression, quite often, but you know, what do? You go get it dealt with. And if it's not working, go back to the doctor and tell him, hey, whatever this is, it's not working. I'm still having my issues. Mine, thankfully, are under control, but it doesn't mean you can't still have a bad day once in a while, but it's what you do with it. My bad days, I'm going to lay in the bed all fucking day and cry or just not be bothered. You know, just leave me alone. Don't bother me. You know, if I got to get the kids dealt with, I'll get them dealt with. And then I come back and lay on my bed because my head is not in the right headspace. Like, I'm just not in the right place. So why in the hell, especially if he was in so many psychiatric facilities so many times, why didn't someone pick up on his bullshit? And if they did, why didn't they do something about it? There was no indication. He didn't speak to anyone about doing it. Bullshit. These people will always leave hints. Whether it's a comment, whether it's how they carry themselves, Even if they're speaking kind of in metaphors, you know, we see that with Todd Kohlhepp, you know, when he had Kayla Brown in the shipping container. And I'll cover him eventually as well, as he's from, you know, all that happened near my area. But with him, he made comments about taming the wildlife on his property, and he wouldn't talk about the fucking wildlife. He was not talking about the wildlife. He was using the metaphor of the, you know, raccoons or possums or whatever, when he was really talking about his victim. So they all speak in metaphors or what ifs. Why didn't someone pick up on it? That many years in and out of that many hospitals. I'm sorry, when you go into the medical field and look for a career, you do not jump back and forth and back and forth and back and forth like that unless you're doing something wrong. And you don't want to get caught. Anyway, rant over. Case over. Interesting enough. He's a weaselly looking fella. Just mousy little creep. You see pictures of him. He looks like he just looks evil. He looks bad. You know, you Google him, he just looks like he's ready to snap at any second. So, anyway, let me know what you thought about the case. Hope you guys enjoyed. Sorry about my rants again. I'm trying to get better about not doing them in the center of the in the center of the story. But again, I hope you guys enjoyed. I'm going to try and get caught up on all of my photo posts so that they can go with the episodes. It's been a little hectic around here, and I think I'm going to have to get somebody start working on that for me again. Because I don't have time. I've had a job change and all kinds of stuff going on. So I haven't really had the ability to do that and do the research and get these things recorded, and take care of my family. So, I'm trying to make it work, and I'm trying to do everything as quickly as I can. So I appreciate everybody's patience, and their support. And you can actually, if you want to help support me and keep this going at all, you can go on to Anchor FM, and, you know, search for Serial Zombie Mom, and you can actually leave me a little donation that can kind of help keep this going. And it can be monthly monetary, like, donation. It can be, you know, little bits, or it can be a lot, or it can be a one-time payment or whatever. If you guys want to help me out a little bit, just so I can have maybe some better equipment or anything like that. And I'm working on getting a Patreon up as well, because I had somebody ask me if I do have a Patreon up. So I'm working on getting that going as well. So email me at serialzombiemoms@gmail.com. Go to the Facebook group, or hit me up on Instagram at serialzombiemom. All right, thanks everybody. I hope you guys enjoyed, and I'll see you on the next one.